as you guide them and as they learn to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now we bless the congregation on the count of three. One, two, three. No, don't even respond. Don't even respond. Okay. I'm turning off my mic for a second for a little heart-to-heart. One, two, three.
The Lord.
No. One, two, three.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
See, they didn't want me to make them redo it. We're going to work on this. Have a great morning. You can follow Mackenzie out right there. So, we have a really neat opportunity for us as a church. Who here likes to garden? Wonderful. Who here wishes they had space to garden in but don't? Got some people. We've got an opportunity with the city. We've got a park behind us that actually has some sort of name, but there's nothing in it. And we started talking with the city last year a little bit about some stuff, and you've noticed maybe that we have a basketball net in the parking lot, and it's been neat seeing dads come with their kids to play basketball, and we're putting out equipment. It's going to go missing. We'll replace it, and Canadian Tire actually helped us out buying some at a really cheap price, which was really cool of them to do that. But some things are going to be happening on that property back there, and we've been approached by the PA Food Coalition this last couple weeks, and we're looking at putting maybe a community garden in back there with some raised beds. And so we're going to try it out this year to get it started, and we're hoping to maybe get six beds in. We have to get city approval, but the mayor loves the idea, the city manager loves the idea, the director of parks and recreation stuff loves the idea, and Martin Ring, our city councilor, loves the idea. So far it's all good. I think that's really cool. And it's going to be a neat way to connect with the community and engage people. We're going to have a couple gardens that are just for the church where we'll need some people just to care for that. And what we mean by that is it'll be called a vandal's garden, so anybody who wants food just come and they can take the food. And there's a need for that around. And so who knows what this can turn into, but if you're somebody who'd be willing to be a part of that and help out with that, it's going to be a really neat ministry opportunity. So come chat with me afterwards or stop by during the week or give a phone call or an email, and we'll see how it goes. There's going to be a couple fruit trees as a part of it, too. The forestry, Saskatchewan Forestry Association, wants to do some teaching and need a place to put fruit trees. And they're approaching different churches, and there's a few other churches doing this, too, with fruit trees and raised beds. And it's going to be neat to see the church being a part of the solution to some of the food issues in the community. And I love it. What a great way to impact our community. Last week, we talked about She Matters. And not everybody had a chance to sign the letters or do stuff. So we want to give you one more chance this week. We have a table at the back. And afterwards, we talked about the value of women and how God's got a purpose for them, and all women matter. But in our society and in our culture, that's not always the case. So we have a letter that you can read over, and it addresses literacy globally and education globally for women, where two-thirds of those children that don't get education are girls. So if we want to share the gospel with them and give them Bibles to read and they can't read the Bible, a little bit of an issue. And so this is a letter that addresses that. We'd love to have you sign it and put it out. And the other part is a social media campaign that a lot of our churches are doing across Canada. And what it is She Matters to Me Because. Why do women matter to you? For me, it's She Matters to Me Because I've got four daughters. Others, She Matters Because God created her uniquely. We'd love to have you fill out one of these, write your name on the back, use a Sharpie on the front, pen on the back, and Donovan will be back there taking your pictures. And we're going to put them on social media in the coming weeks. And just to share that, along with other churches across Western Canada are doing that, and across Canada, actually. Now, you might say, I'm not sure I want my picture on social media. You can still fill one out. They don't have to take your picture. We'd still love to have you give your voice to that, because we can always take a picture of your sheet. But we would love to have a face attached to it. And so after the service, if you have some time, stop by the table and fill this out, and just add your voice to other Baptists across Canada, sharing why we think God has given value to each person in this world. In a world that's often male-dominated, we want to add our voice and say, she matters. And so please do that. Sometimes being called by God is like drawing the short straw. I mean, the things he asks people to do can be a little over the top. And I can't believe what God asked me to do. Now, we all know the story of Jonah and his trying to run away from going to do the ministry that God called him to do. And I'm not going to quit like Jonah or try and run away like Jonah. I mean, when God sends you, you go, right? Well, when God asked me to do what he asked me to do, 3 nights in the belly of a fish seemed mighty tempting for a few seconds. It's one thing for God to ask me to share my faith with someone. It's another to go to the very person who desires to see me bound up and hauled away, or at worst, even wants to kill me. Yet that's exactly what God was doing and asking of me. Maybe I shouldn't have been so eager when I heard God call to me. I mean, I know the Old Testament stories. Rarely is it glitz and glamour that God calls people to. Building arks, wilderness wanderings, they all seem like a walk in the park, or at least a desert, compared to this. And why me? Why not another disciple of Christ? What's so special that this task has to be me? You must be wondering, what in the world am I going on about? Right? I mean, how bad could it be? I received a call from God, and it was as specific as can be with no room for interpretation. It's one of those calls from God that you just don't want to receive. And it's one of those calls from God that leaves no wiggle room whatsoever. Well, let me put it to you this way. I was even given an address to go to. Let me back up. I was doing my own thing in Damascus when I heard God call me. Ananias! Now, I knew who that was, not because it happened all the time. It's just one of those things that I just knew. That was the Lord calling me. And so I responded. What else do you do? Yes, Lord. So far, so good in the conversation. In fact, I'll admit, I was excited. My Lord, my Savior, was speaking to me audibly. I would do anything for him. Apparently, my Lord knew that. So I was given a calling. Not just any calling, a specific, detailed calling. Who, why, where? Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. That's you. See what I mean? No wiggle room in that calling. And that's the problem. The disciples around here, we all know who Saul of Tarsus is. My first thought was, I'm sure he's praying. Really? Praying for more Christians to arrest and murder. My second thought was, You want me to heal him because he's blind? Isn't Saul being blind a good thing for us? Then he can't see us to beat us or persecute us or even capture us. Praise the Lord! He's blind! And then I stopped myself. Jesus was asking me to do something. So I thought, I might as well share my concerns. I actually told Peter later on that I cast all my cares onto him. Peter thought it was humorous, but he always liked fishing references. Cast all my hairs, casting nets. Get it? Yeah. No one else really laughed that much either, but Peter laughed a lot at that. Peter did not have a great sense of humor. Anyways, I voiced my concerns to Jesus. Now, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And now he's come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. Now, I thought I was being helpful, but hindsight is kind of humorous. What did I think I was doing? Telling Jesus something he didn't already know? How do you tell God himself something new? Seriously, thank you, Jesus, for the call, but I think there's some things you haven't fully considered in asking me to do this. That's not how it works. It's actually the other way around. We can come up with all the reasons, all the excuses as to why we shouldn't do what Jesus asks of us. Well, maybe they're not ready yet. I'm not mature enough. I don't know Scripture enough. What if they ask a question I can't answer? Or this is too dangerous. I'm not comfortable. I haven't had my double-double yet. You know, we can come up with all sorts of reasons. And the truth is, we never know the whole picture. I didn't. But Jesus showed me grace and filled me in. Go! This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. I admit I like the suffer part. And I didn't know till later what had happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. He had encountered Jesus in a vision. He had been humbled and brought to his knees, and he was changed, and he'd been blinded, all because God had chosen Saul. Never saw that coming. Saul, the persecutor. Saul, the Pharisee. Jesus picked a persecuting Pharisee whose name Roman name was Paul. So we're left with a pompous persecuting Pharisee named Paul. And either Jesus likes alliteration or there's a bigger picture than I realize, and grace is more than I can ever imagine. Seriously, didn't Jesus argue with the Pharisees all the time? And now he's calling one of them? Didn't Jesus say, "Blessed are the persecuted," and now he's blessing a persecutor? Isn't that amazing? That's why I follow Jesus, because he does the most amazing things. He died and rose again. He ascended into heaven. He saved me. He calls a pompous, persecuting Pharisee to be his instrument. Isn't that amazing grace? Isn't that beyond our wildest imagination? And yes, it's real. And I was called to be a part of it. So I went to the house because I didn't know any better. I didn't know any better than God, and I chose to follow God and not trust in myself. Yes, I had hesitations. Yes, I had reason to be fearful. But am I ever glad I trusted Jesus and listened to that calling? I went, I prayed for Saul, I prayed with Saul. I went to this man, and I went from fearing to calling him a brother in Christ. And the blind were made to see again. There was no more risk. Was there ever really a risk in going to see Saul? Maybe in some people's eyes. But wouldn't the bigger risk for me have been ignoring what God asked me to do? To risk missing a miracle, an incredible miracle, to risk seeing a life transformed, not just a life, that life. Actually, that's not even correct. To not just risk seeing Saul's life transformed, but thousands and thousands of lives transformed. Because Saul was God's chosen instrument. And I got to baptize him. We ate together. We laughed together. We talked together. I shared stories of who Jesus was. And Saul, who said, "Just call me Paul," was amazed. He wept at his sins, and he rejoiced in grace. He went into the synagogues not to find those who were Christian and to persecute them, but he went into the synagogues instead to call people to follow Jesus. That's a miracle. You know, Jesus called us all to go into the world and make disciples. I think it's pretty cool that meant me sharing my faith with someone right here at home. Can you imagine risking missing out on all that? I was one small piece in a big story. And I wouldn't risk missing that for the world. I like the story of Ananias. He's one of us. No different than us here. Someone trying to follow Jesus in the midst of a world that's counter to Christ. And sharing faith is something that we are all called to do. We commit our lives to Christ, surrender our lives to Christ, choose to follow him, to be his disciples. And what does God send us out to do? To make more disciples. To share our faith. To share the glorious news of what Christ is doing in our life and Christ has done for all of us. And so we all have this calling. And we all have this exciting grace that we have access to in Jesus Christ. And what do? Often we get scared. It can be scary to share our faith. It can be hard to share our faith. It wasn't easy for Ananias to share his faith. We love the message of grace and a hope that's changed our lives. And like Ananias, we've made Jesus our Lord and Savior. And God prompted him to share faith with someone, to walk alongside what God was already doing. And he had reservations, and he's not the first one. You know, when we look through Scripture, people have reservations again and again, hesitations, issues. They find it hard to do what God asked of them. We see it throughout Scripture. Abraham was too old. Moses thought he had a stuttering program. Gideon was afraid. Jonah should have been in a marathon. He ran from God so hard. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Put that on your resume as a pastor, eh? John the Baptist ate bugs. That's quite the witness. Let's not try that as a church. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman had one husband after another. Do you notice in Scripture that everybody that God uses is flawed, sinful, broken? King David had an issue with women, and he was the king of Israel. He was sinful. He did wrong things. And yet God used him in amazing ways. We're all in the same boat as everybody else. We're flawed and sinful and broken. But we're also in the same boat as everybody else, that we're created in God's image with purpose and value, and God's got a plan for us. The difference for those people, the difference of Ananias, is they took the risk of doing what God asked them to do. They risked it. And Ananias can teach us a few things about the risk of sharing faith. First off, nobody is asking you in sharing your faith to be a savior or a messiah. We already have one of those. God does the work of changing hearts and changing lives. That's not your job. That's the Holy Spirit working in people's lives to change them and transform them. What we're called to do is to assist. Saul, who we know as Paul, came to faith because of God working in his life. Ananias came alongside him. So we don't save people, God does. We share stories, we pray, we share scripture, we walk alongside. That's what we do. We assist. God uses who you are when you're willing to take that risk in your words and in your actions to share faith with people, to share what Christ means to you, to share the scriptures that point to Christ, to invite them to be a part of that story. Sometimes that means just sitting in silence with somebody who's struggling, and sometimes that means sharing scripture. God does the heavy lifting. God does the work in people's lives. We get to walk alongside and assist. And God wants us to play that role. I think we also see with Saul a truth that I think many of us can relate with. Something often happens in somebody's life for them to come to faith. Not everybody is always ready. Some people are closed off. Scripture tells us about that. Other people are open. Other people are just waiting for somebody to share the truth with them. And here's the secret our culture doesn't want you to know. There's far more people open to talking about faith than are closed off to it. Spiritual conversations are yearned for in this world to give meaning and purpose and value to what people are seeing around them. They know there needs to be something more, and they're looking for it. So, first off, when you share faith with somebody and they're closed off, that doesn't mean you did something wrong. It means you did something right. You put faith out there. Who knows what that's going to tear down wall-wise in that person's life? You'll also learn to recognize that there's people around you who are wrestling in tough situations. There's an opportunity there. Maybe some people are like a red light, other people are like a yellow light. And there's an openness. Great opportunities to invest in relationships, in those conversations. Some people are a green light, just yes, share the faith, and they're there. But often the problem is they're right around us and we don't see them. And so I want to challenge us to do something. Let's all, every morning, pray to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Let's pray each morning that God will show us someone that we can show Christ's love to through either word or action. God, this morning, show me who I can love. Show me how to love somebody with my words and with my actions. Show me someone I can share you with. Simple prayer. And throughout the day, have your eyes and ears open to see and hear who God's bringing around you. And then take a risk and share something with them. And that's the next part. Risk sharing. Risk doing. It's not easy, but easy is not the point. Share God's love, share God's grace, share your story of faith and what God means to you. They're not perfect, neither are we. We've got something in common. We're trying to get through life. And it is a risk sharing. Some people might look at you funny. Some people might mock you. I need to tell you, when I'm in a conversation with somebody and they don't know my pastor and they ask you my vocation, I'm a pastor. Oh. I was getting a haircut in Calgary. And the hairdresser is going on about how she brings her own Clamato juice down to the bars in the States when she's getting tanked. And going on and on and on about this. And she goes, so what do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, I was just smiling. She was quiet for a while. It can be awkward. And some people are closed off. And some people mock faith and will mock the church. Some people have been hurt badly by the church. Really badly. I remember a lady that I helped out with her wedding at. Must have been about 7, 8 years ago. She was petrified of walking into the church because of what the church had done to her and her family as a kid. She walked in one morning, and we'd been watching for her for a few weeks. And she was about to walk out, and my wife ran out from the back of the sanctuary and pulled her in and sat with her the whole service. She took a risk coming. She had reason to be closed off to the church. She'd been very badly hurt by the church. It took time. You know what? You risk somebody saying no. Which I always find funny, we get upset that, well, what if they say no? Is that any different than where they're at before? No, that's just status quo. That's the worst case scenario when we share faith. Is that we're going to get them to be in a status quo spot, that nothing will change. Unless you're really hateful, in which case you could drive them farther away. But if we come with love and kind hearts, the love of Christ, you're not going to drive anyone away. The only thing can happen is they can come closer. You know what? We risk not knowing answers. And we were saying, well, I don't know where that is in the Bible. There's nothing like saying, let's figure this out together. Let's do this together. I don't know the answer to that. That's a great question. Let's go to church on Sunday and talk to the pastor or one of the elders or one of my friends. But not sharing is a far bigger risk. You risk someone not hearing about Christ. You risk someone not coming to faith. You risk not seeing a miracle. Imagine Ananias pulling a Jonah and running off and not meeting with Saul. What would he have missed out on? Can you imagine that? You might say, Mike, you're the pastor. You're supposed to preach these kind of sermons. People like me don't do that. That's for the people who have the gift of evangelism. And there are people who have that gift, who share their faith all over the place. Love it. Not everybody has that gift, but we all have that calling. It may be hard, and it may be a risk, but we're called to that. And so I want to share a story on video. It's a testimony from a friend of mine. I don't know if you remember last year we were praying for a friend who passed away in a motorbike accident of mine. This is his story. After I left my last church, at some point him and his family changed churches. And they went to a church called Heartland Alliance. And this is his video testimony that he gave about sharing faith. So let's watch that.
Christian home, but it wasn't the Christian home that my kids are growing up in. My parents were very reserved with their views, with their opinions. But as far as speaking to each other about your relationship that you're supposed to have with Christ, there was none of that. It was very reserved emotionally. We went to church every Sunday and we were good for the week. We didn't talk much about spirituality or our faith or anything else. The one thing I do remember, even now to this day, is it was always that to get into heaven you just had to be a good person. Growing up that way, it moved into my married life, but when I met my wife, she was going to a Pentecostal church, and it gave me a different perspective on what the relationship is really supposed to be. And I accepted Christ in October of 1992 and got married in 1993. My mom had a difficult time with me moving into a different phase of life, I guess, but also of spirituality. She couldn't accept the fact that I was a Christian in that aspect. But it was still unspoken between my mom and myself, or my father and myself. December 17th of 2013, I got a phone call that my mom was diagnosed with terminal cancer. She was given less than 6 months to live. I didn't know 100% that she was going to heaven. I didn't know 100% that her faith was in Christ and in Christ alone. And it ate away at me for quite a while. And then February 22nd weekend, you spoke on the 4 points and praying the prayer of forgiveness and of acceptance for Christ. And it all tied in so perfectly with me going out to visit and see my mom and spend some quality time with her while we still had her. I saw the bulletin sitting there on my bag, and I knew that it wasn't by chance that it was there. So I took the bulletin, I opened it up, and I went through the 4 points that you had preached on. And at the end, it was asking both of them if they wanted to pray the prayer of accepting Christ as their Savior. And the neat thing is, my sister was in the kitchen when I was discussing the 4 points with my parents. And when it came to say the prayer, she called out from the kitchen, "Hang on a second, I'm not missing out on this either." So she came out and sat down in the living room. And I said, "I have the prayer here." I said, "I'll read it and you just read it back. You just speak it back to me." So I didn't look at my mom the whole time because I knew that I wouldn't get through it if I watched her. And so I started reading and I read through the whole thing and they said it back. So all three of them actually accepted Christ that night just from me taking that step and stepping out in my faith and speaking about it. And it's not something that's easy to do by any stretch, because it was, for me, it was a lifetime of this is the kind of stuff you don't talk about. It's a joyful thing to know that she is in heaven, but it's a heavy hole.
I didn't know that story until Craig passed away. But it doesn't surprise me, and I'm thrilled he took that step to share his faith and to risk that. Craig was the kind of guy who was on the property team at our church. Came out every week to help out with different things around the property, to fix stuff and, you know, tell jokes and drink coffee with the guys that were there. Can you imagine if he hadn't taken that risk of sharing faith with his mom? The regret he may have had? Can you imagine the risk of that story not being told? I asked his wife if he was okay with me sharing this in our church. She just wants more people to know who Christ is. And if this helps out, she's thrilled. If Craig can do it, any of us can do it. I mentioned that Craig passed away last year while on a road trip, on a motorbike trip with some Christian friends. He has two kids. His wife Karen are left behind. They know where he's going. They know what he believed. He took a risk and his family came to faith. Lives were changed. Craig's life was changed. And he saw a miracle. Because every time someone comes to faith, it's a miracle. Death is defeated. We have eternal life in Christ. Sins are forgiven and washed away. We are made new again. Those are all miracles. So that's the challenge for us. Let's share faith. Let's take that risk. Let's tell people that Jesus died on the cross for them to forgive them for their sins. That Jesus rose from the grave so we can have eternal life. That we're all sinful and broken and empty without Christ completing us. That God's got a plan and purpose for us to use us for his kingdom, for his work in this world. And that one day Christ will return. And that in Christ we have eternal life, not just for eternity, but the fullness of life that God wants for us. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for stories like Craig, for stories like Ananias. And Lord, I pray that you be working in our lives each and every day. Lord, may you open our eyes to see the people you're calling us to share faith with, to see the need for them to know you. May you give us ears to hear the hurts in their lives and to share with them the healing that can be found in Christ. Lord, we can be scared. Give us confidence. Give us boldness and courage. Help us to rely on your strength and not on ourselves, to realize that you're the one who saves and we don't have to. But we do get to be part of the messenger, to be one of the messengers who shares faith with these people. And we get to see the miracle of salvation as people begin to respond. Lord, we pray that you grow this church through us sharing our faith. Not for the sake of filling seats, but for the sake of seeing your kingdom grow. Help us to be a people who care for those who are lost, those who don't know you yet, and have a heart for them, and not to wait or to delay, but to share openly and boldly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.